It's Good Day Health with Dr. Ken Kronhaus, who runs Lake Cardiology down in Mount Dora, Florida, with us for the hour. Available for your questions. He's got answers. He studied a lot of the medical journals this week and has a review of the most important information he believes you should know. If you want to pass along some questions, you can use the Twitter connection at Doug Steffen or Doug at DougSteffen.com. I think Twitter is probably the easiest way. I have a backlog of questions. Let's see if we can get to some of them for Dr. Ken during this hour after he does his report on the latest information from the medical journals. All of this brought to you by the folks at Superbeats, who want you to understand how good nitric oxide is and where it comes from. Obviously, the 2 and 2 makes 4 department would bring us to understanding that beets may bring you nitric oxide, but Ken will connect the dots at some point during this hour. And you can order the product as you hear us talking about it. Pretty easy to do. 800-655-4183. It is nothing short of fabulous what happens when you use, when you introduce your body and keep using Superbeats, as Ken will explain later on. Right now, let's get to some of the medical news, as Ken is a nationally known cardiologist practicing at Lake Cardiology, as I suggested, in Florida. There's an article that comes as a surprise, but maybe not, depending on you're certainly an experienced doctor who sees women who have been through trauma, and now this trauma, according to the research, can cause heart problems. What? How does this, what kind of problems does it cause?
Exactly. This comes out of the North America Menopause Society annual meeting that's going on this week, Doug. The trauma may be more than psychologically damaging for women. It also boosts their chances of heart trouble. Women who report 3 or more traumatic experiences had poorer function of the inner lining of the heart and blood vessels. That's the wallpaper of the circulation. We call this endothelial function. Than those with fewer traumatic experiences. This reduced endothelial function increases the risk of heart disease, circulation damage, heart attacks, all of that. So if you have been through a lot of mental trauma, that can ultimately have bad effects on the heart.
Bad effects show up how?
Manifesting. As heart attacks.
Heart attacks.
Yes, so you want to make sure all your other risk factors are under control. Your blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol, your weight, all the things we love to talk about. Healthy lifestyle, eat Mediterranean diet, get into an exercise program. If the doctor says it's okay, get that stress out of your life. Get 7 to 8 hours a night of sleep. These are all very important. Of course, don't smoke and limit the alcohol.
Yep. All right. You hear Ken say that frequently, but those are the sort of things that are simple and need to be repeated because people sometimes have selective hearing. Isn't that part of the medical problems that people like? A lot of the folks that work with me keep talking to me about my sugar intake because I eat a lot of fruit. And fruit is, for me, a very strong substance for nutrition. And you know, we have a sponsor called Balance of Nature. That is all about getting in encapsulated form fruits and vegetables into your body. You and I have never really, well, we talk about what the CDC or the government recommends. You're supposed to have X number of servings every day of this, that, or the other thing. And I don't think, let me just take an aside here for a second, because some of the people are listening that may hear this in context. There are those who think that sugar of all sorts is bad for you. I admit
Not
to
true.
Having a sugar connection. I like ice cream and I like cake and I like pie and I like things like that. But sugar appears in almost everything. If you look at how much sugar there is in a bottle of ketchup, for example, that kind of stuff.
Let me try and simplify this. Natural sugar that occurs in food, well, you don't have to worry about. The natural sugar that occurs in fruit, you don't have to worry about that. Good studies show that doesn't cause diabetes, that doesn't cause harm. That's fine. It's the white sugar that you add that's not naturally in the food. That's where the harm occurs.
Mm-hmm. So it's from the sugar beet, the cane sugar, which I always have wondered about because there's brown sugar. There's white sugar, which is processed.
It's adding it to the food and when it's not naturally in the food. And this comes out of Clinical Science, medical journal this week, Doug, that overdoing it on sugar might harm the livers of otherwise healthy men. Mm-hmm. A sugar-rich diet, it's associated with unhealthy high levels of fat in both the blood and the liver. Consuming high amounts of sugar can alter your fat metabolism in ways that can increase your risk of cardiovascular disease.
So far, the so-called fatty liver disease,
exactly.
Does that come out of this as well?
That's what it seems. That's the discovery of this report, yes.
Mm-hmm. Too much sugar, but it's the sugar that we're talking about that's sort of manufactured sugar.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Don't worry about what's in fruit. I hear too often, oh, I can't take fruit because there's so much sugar in it. If you get the natural fruit, don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I eat a lot of berries, melons.
That sugar doesn't count.
Pineapple, you know, that stuff. I eat a lot of it.
Good.
I eat tons of
it. Enjoy
it. I have 9, 10, 11 different kinds of fruit pretty much every day.
Enjoy it.
Apples, pears.
But you're not putting white sugar on top of it.
No.
Actually, that's not what
you
want to do.
I have to tell you, and I would say this to all the others, eat things. Meredith's very good about keeping me conscious, as you know, in talking to her. She is very conscious of her health, and she tries to have that spread on to me, and that I'm thankful for. The things, the choices you make in terms of eating, every once in a while, I do go off, much less than I used to, on a splurge. And maybe it's my age or being conscious. I mean, I don't know what it is. But I will tell you, when I don't have it, I miss it. And that's part of the addictive quality of all of this stuff.
Absolutely.
And the addictive quality of sugar comes from the kinds of sugar you're talking about, not the fructose that's in fruit. Am I right in saying that, or is that true?
That is correct. It's not fructose that's in fruit, but the addictive quality comes from the white sugar that's added on that is so sweet and people love.
Uh-huh. Well, it's good. I noticed the difference when Meredith would buy me a box of cookies that has no sugar and has no gluten, like a chocolate chip cookie that's sugar-free. It doesn't taste the same. Now,
correct.
If I had never had chocolate chip cookies that were made with sugar, I probably wouldn't notice the difference. And that's what my daughter is teaching her, not teaching her son, but they just haven't exposed him to a lot of the things. You know, when he gets a little older, he goes to school, he's going to have all of this stuff. But now he thinks eating stuff that we consider good for us is what he's supposed to do. He doesn't know. Every once in a while, his grandfather brings him for an ice cream, and I'm not supposed to do that. But
your daughter probably doesn't want my advice. But, you know, the problem with what she is doing is because once he's away from her, he's going to go crazy with it. And that's why, you know, giving them a little bit in the house and making it not...
Well, he's a little bit, yeah.
And making it not such, you know, the promise...
Let's put it this way. I spoil him in that regard, and his uncle spoils him.
Okay,
in that
regard, that's okay. Because then he won't go so crazy.
Right. All right. There's a little food for thought for you all.
I won't tell her.
Okay, don't tell her. I don't think you've ever met Megan, have you? Either of my
only on the radio.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
We've talked a couple of times. But,
yeah.
But, you know, I understand what she's trying to do, but, you know, you just, you're interested in the long-term outcomes. And we're not excluding treats. You don't have to stay away from entirely. Treats are okay. It's the diet when it becomes a whole lifestyle and you're overdoing it.
Okay. All right. So there you go. Food for thought. It's all food for thought here. This is Good Day Health, Dr. Ken Kronhaus. You can catch podcast of this. The new website is gooddayhealthshow.com. You'll find a button there. You can click on it and get recent podcasts of information that comes from both Ken Kronhaus and Jack Stockwell. We had actually, I think it was last week, the episode that we put together of yours had on the first day, I only mentioned this once on the air, and had 500 downloads.
Wow.
Sort of shocked me. So there you
wow.
go. Imagine what a little promotion will do. Super Beets and nitric oxide. Super Beets is a super food. And Ken is here to endorse for everybody. He's been talking about this with me for 3 years on the radio, the nutritionally important opportunity that is here by just using a food naturally grown, and it becomes, I suppose, a superfood as super beets. So let's put two and two together here, Ken.
I say wow before because I'm honored by the opportunity to teach, and I'm so glad the word's getting out, how to stay healthy. And the word needs to get out about nitric oxide, and that's what we talk about with super beets. Nitric oxide, it is the third important gas in the body. This is Nobel Prize-winning information in 1998. It was only discovered in 1988. So a lot of doctors, they went to medical school before that, haven't even heard about this unless they've been keeping up to date. If you are getting that bit of fatigue in the afternoon and you're thinking about going for those high caffeinated beverages, think about the super beets. It'll give you a natural boost of nitric oxide so that all the red blood cells carrying oxygen from head to toe can get into your circulation. Nitric oxide relaxes the blood vessels, and then the oxygen-rich red blood cells can get through, deliver the energy. Your body feels energized. Try it before your workouts and at the gym instead of using some of those substances which you shouldn't be using. This is natural. This is effective. This is a very healthy way to work out, getting a little bit of extra edge to your workout. Super beets. Try it. You're going to like it.
800-655-4183. You want the benefits of this powerful superfood? Call and order it now at 800-655-4183. With your first order, you'll get another 30-day supply of Super Beets free, plus the indicator strips that Ken talks about all the time to just see how Super Beets is working for you. And you get free shipping. So call 800-655-4183 and take advantage of this powerful, it's, I mean, when you think about it, it's only a teaspoon, a few ounces of the product. The powdered beets go into a couple of, what, 3 or 4 ounces of water or into a some kind of a drink that, you know, maybe a super smoothie, you know, something like that. So my experience has been, Ken's has been, many of the people that I know and love who are drinking it and using it have had fabulous results. You'll try it and you'll love it. I know you will. 30% of us are getting all the nutrients that we need from food. You need more. So use the super beets. The nature of it, the multivitamin benefits of it are surreal, in fact, fabulous. Super Beets. Order them now at 800-655-4183. So many people ask me this question all the time. How do I get to Ken? That's why I remind you each time he's here how you can find him if you'd like to go there for a consult. It's a beautiful area, Florida in the main. As it's beautiful. I love the east coast of Florida. There are a lot of neat parts of Florida, frankly. Northern Florida is a great agricultural area. The entertainment quotient that's around central Florida is legend. But the little towns that surround Orlando, like the town Ken is in, are just like a step back in history, frankly. The hotels that are there and the little town center, it's a neat little place. So you want to go as a tourist, that's one thing. Go visit Ken. At the same time, call his office at 352-735-1400. When I describe it like that, Ken, I feel like a tourist guide.
You're going to especially like it this year. They've upgraded it quite a bit.
Yeah, last year when we were there.
Yeah, you were in the midst of the construction.
Yeah,
it's done.
Right. Got a great little Mexican restaurant. I know that. I like to go to that Mexican restaurant that's in town.
Yes.
352-735-1400. To visit with Dr. Ken. We're in part of the visit here. We go through the medical news so you can hear what it is that Ken has studied to help him in his practice and help you understand what some of the things are that influence your health. A story about sweating and how good it is if you go into the sauna for your blood pressure so you can get blood pressure lowered. A couple of ways. Take Super Beets and go into a sauna.
Well, exactly. We talked about how mental trauma can harm the lining of the circulation to the heart. Well, let's figure out how we can naturally help it. And this also comes out this week in the American Journal of Hypertension, Doug. Those who take sauna baths 4 to 7 times a week, they cut their risk of high blood pressure by nearly half compared to once a week sauna bathers. Sauna bathing appears to decrease systemic blood pressure through different biological mechanisms. In the sauna, your body temperature rises. This widens the blood vessels. And over time, this appears to improve the function of the inside layer of blood vessels. Sauna baths also remove fluid from the body through sweating and relax the body and mind.
Wow. Sauna baths. I find it uncomfortable. The YMCA in Santa Monica where I go,
it may be too
sauna,
hot.
It just is like 130 in there.
You turn it down a little.
Ugh. Well, a lot of the old fat guys that go in there like
they
it.
They love it.
Yeah. That doesn't sound too charitable, but that's what they are. Like, look like Harvey Weinstein.
They love it.
Meanwhile, let's see here. Multivitamins taken before a child is born by the mother seem to have positive benefit, if I'm reading this correctly from this report.
Very helpful for prevention out of the British Medical Journal this week. Taking a multivitamin during pregnancy, Doug, may reduce a child's risk of developing autism. Multivitamin use with or without added iron or folic acid, it's associated with a lower likelihood of child autism with intellectual disability compared with mothers who did not use supplements.
Really? So do we have a particular, is it just a multivitamin?
Correct.
Or are there so many out there in the market that you could
just get
use
a
any
good
number.
Multivitamin. You know, the odds of autism in the multivitamin group, they were 30% lower.
So just get a good prenatal multivitamin. There's a multivitamin that is specifically designed for pregnancy period.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The prenatal vitamins are advised to prevent some birth defects, and this may be just an added benefit.
I'm Doug Steffen, doctor of mediocrity. And Ken.
Hardly.
Doctor of cardiovascular. Yes, thank you. That was a tongue-in-cheek remark. Let's get back to some of the things that are influencing you and your health. I noticed something this week that I wanted you to be the first to talk about. American Heart Association releasing a statement recommending meditation as a way to potentially reduce the risk of heart disease, joining a lot of voices recognizing the benefits of, a regular meditation practice. The statement I read is entitled, "Meditation and Cardiovascular Risk Reduction," a scientific statement from the American Heart Association calling meditation a potential attractive, cost-effective adjunct to more traditional medical therapies. Now, you're a member of the American Heart Association, and you also are a preventative cardiologist. So how does this strike you?
Well, just to be talking about this in mainstream medicine is just wonderful, and it shows how far we've gotten, because there finally is good science confirming that mental stress is almost as bad as cigarette smoking. Mm-hmm. And it is so important, whatever works for you individually, because this is personalized medicine, to get the steam out of the ears, to get the mental stress down so you can optimize your heart health and your overall good health. And for some, meditation works, and the American Heart Association, I think, is just has an opportunity to let everyone know about how important getting mental stress out of your life is. And just bringing up one example of what's been shown in science, you know, don't have overly great hope for it, because in some people it doesn't work. In some people it does. But if it doesn't work, try something else. But it's a worthwhile item if you're overwhelmed with stress and nothing seems to work. You can't hurt to try it.
No, it certainly doesn't hurt. And it does make sense, frankly, to me, someone who's trying to understand and use meditation, but I don't know. There's sort of this traditional, you know, you think goes with that. You got to sit and fold your legs and cross your knees or whatever it is and hold your hand. That's not, I'm a meditator when I'm on my tractor on the farm.
Correct.
And there are lots of different ways. When you go to the gym to work out, I bet that's a form of meditation for you, is it not?
It's whatever it is, it's a form of relaxation.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about more than anything else.
And you have to find what works for you because this is really, as I said, individualized. And, you know, some people find watching funny movies works for them,
yeah,
or doing sports or exercising or talking to friends. Just whatever it is, make sure you do it. It's you are doing it for your health.
Yep. All right. And to sort of finalize this, if you will, what I saw in the report was they refer to it as mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. Good God. Gee, leave it to the doctors to come up with that.
It's relaxation.
Maybe just as effective as pharmaceuticals.
Exactly.
When it comes to preventing chronic depression relapse. And more words that mean heart attack, basically. Right.
And depression. And it's just adding on how important whatever you can do to get mental stress under control is so important.
Yep. All right. Next, it's fall, the best time of the year for natural fruits, vegetables like apples. And I saw something that just screamed for you to comment. Remember the old adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Apples may be able to lower cholesterol. It helps statin drugs, according to what I saw here. Does that make sense to you? This is in one of the British medical journals.
Right. Well, exactly.
If doctors, listen to this. If doctors prescribed an apple a day to adults over the age of 50, 8,500 annual vascular deaths would be prevented. Wow. What do you think of that?
I think it's a great idea. Apples have a lot of natural fiber, antioxidants, and it's just incredibly good. Fruit or vegetables or both are just so healthy.
If I'm reading this, you tell me if I'm wrong. I guess I'm looking sort of between the lines. You know, you've been trying, well, you haven't been trying to, but you've suggested to me, what, the last 3, 4, 5 years, that there is an argument when you look at my, at the cholesterol numbers, that I might be served by having a mild statin. And I have resisted that and, in fact, have not taken your advice.
Well, it's more than when I look at your carotid and your number.
Right. Okay. But the carotid hasn't changed either since the first time you ultrasounded however many years ago, right? It hasn't really
slightly changed. Slightly. It's moved slightly.
Slightly. All right. So in terms of having a statin, the suggestion here that this is about vascular death, strokes, heart attacks, things that we're talking about that you confront every single day in your office. I'm not sure whether I'm seeing that they're suggesting there are some dangers attached to statin drugs and that nutrition and diet can do just as much for you without the side effects. I think that's what I'm reading between the lines. You tell me if I'm right or wrong.
It's that's not true.
No.
And one of the other reasons why, for you, a statin might be helpful, and again, this is not just based on numbers because it's much more complicated than just looking at numbers. You have to know what's going on in the circulation. And, you know, you have some small vessel heart disease. Remember you had
that little flutter or whatever it is.
Little abnormality on the stress test and the big vessels are fine. And, you know, that's where it begins and then it moves to the big vessels. But the process of the circulation not working properly is not only all cholesterol, it's a combination of excess inflammation in the circulation. And the only way to tamp down the excess inflammation is with the statin, and the statins are so much more than just cholesterol-lowering drugs. If you have normal circulation in reasonable numbers, you don't need a statin. But if you have the beginning of the process of plaquing, excess inflammation in the circulation, that's where the statin helps to lower the inflammation because it's like a snowball going down the mountain and there's momentum here and you have to push back or it will progress. Regardless, diet is very important. I'm not minimizing it at all. But once the plaque starts, you have to do more than just diet. If you want to slow down this push, this momentum to form plaque, the plaque ruptures, you get heart attacks or strokes.
All right. Well, maybe you'll convince me. We'll see how it works.
But again, you get two votes, I get one on the issue.
Well, listen, I'm listening to you. I'm very blessed that at the age that I'm on, that I've gotten to, that I am a very healthy character and have lots to be thankful for with regard to that. But I want to continue to enjoy all the great things that are a part of my life. And so, I think that when I talk to you about stuff like that, and I say this to a lot of people, bet on yourself, but don't bet against yourself in this circumstance. And one of the other things that's bothering me that I think affects people who are my age, I have to have an operation on my foot. I've never really had an operation in my life. In my entire life, I had a collapsed lung, and that had to be corrected, but that's it. So my foot, however, my left foot has progressed. They're bad. There's a bunion, and the flat feet have things growing in them, and I wrecked my ankles a number of years ago, and they all need to get corrected so it doesn't misalign my back and my hips and all kinds of things. So I got to have that operation this winter, and I won't move much for 10, 12, 14 days. And I was just looking at something that I guess in the back of my mind I had it. I wonder about it because I like muscle, and I want to make sure that I stay strong. And one of the best ways to do it is obviously keep your muscles in your legs and your arms and your and everywhere, actually, in good shape. But if I am not able to move for 10, 12, 14 days, the muscle mass in my legs will lose 10% in just that short period of time, 10% of their value or their strength or whatever it is. So what the heck does somebody like me do about that?
Get a good physical therapist.
I have a good one. Okay. So that's it?
Present that challenge to your physical therapist. Mm-hmm. They'll solve it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to see her this afternoon. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask her that question. Doug Steffen with Dr. Ken Kronhaus on our weekly foray into understanding your health and well-being as well as possible, with lots of innovations being discussed here and there. I saw something about antibiotic-resistant infections and how many Americans are affected every year. We think that drugs and antibiotics are perfect and they're going to solve all the problems that there are or may be. But you may have an infection. These infections, the bacteria mutate and they become resistant to some of the antibiotics that have been developed. 2 million Americans suffer from this a year, and 23,000 die. Wow. So are there new antibiotics being introduced all the time that replace old ones?
This is well described, Doug. This is a constant ongoing race for the development of antibiotics to stay a little bit ahead of the bacteria that continuously evolve to be resistant to the antibiotics. And fortunately, we're mostly ahead. There are a few extremely rare bacteria that seem to be ahead of the race, but this is an ongoing effort, and this is where you want the pharmacologic companies to be devoting a lot of funds to research.
Wow.
Because it can be scary. And the other important thing is this is where part of the issue with resistance occurs when antibiotics are used inappropriately. And, I think in my day when I was an intern and resident in the 1980s at Duke, we were extremely aggressive with antibiotics. And I think the pendulum has shifted the other way. And sometimes people are a little even under aggressive with antibiotics because of the concern that if you treat too much, you develop these species which are resistant. So this is a moving target.
One of the things you hear Ken talk about all the time is how important it is for you to get a good night's rest. And if you're trying to figure out how to make that easy, your pillow is a very important component of your nighttime rest. The pillow that will change your life forever is the MyPillow. Why use those cheap chemical foam pillows? They don't cut it. Don't. There's a lady who sent me a note. Name is Charlene. She said, this is the best night's sleep I've ever had. No tossing, turning, no waking up. This pillow that comes from my pillow isn't full of synthetics and foam and feathers and all that stuff. It's a special blend of things that he created. He discovered, he patented them. Mike Lindell did. And you can get the benefits by ordering your MyPillows at 50% off. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code DJV. 50% off MyPillows, MyPillow.com, promo code DJV. Somebody asked me a question to ask you about the level of melatonin and whether it's true that lower levels of melatonin can be associated with an increased risk of getting type 2 diabetes. Is that too much of a mouthful? What is melatonin and how does it affect type 2 diabetes, and what's type 2 diabetes?
Well, type 2 diabetes is the kind of diabetes that occurs when usually you're obese and the body's just not sensitive to insulin. You actually make excessive insulin. The insulin levels in the blood are high, as opposed to type 1 diabetes, where you're just not making enough insulin and your insulin levels are low. The net result is the blood sugar is high and you get all the complications of diabetes type 1 or type 2, where the circulation is damaged from head to toe and nerves can be damaged. You get heart attacks, strokes, impotence, problems with your eyesight, problems moving your limbs, funny sensations from neuropathies in the limbs all throughout the body. So horrible problem. You really want to get it checked. There was a study this past spring in the Journal of the American Medical Association that noticed an association, Doug, between decreased levels of the hormone melatonin and the development of type 2 diabetes. But it's a hard jump to say that actually, if you treat it with melatonin, you're going to do anything. It hasn't gotten to that point. And whether there is even cause and effect is a question. And it's a whole area that's very sketchy.
Sketchy. So is there a danger of doing it?
I would not yet treat type 2 diabetes by taking melatonin. I would not do that. If you had type 2 diabetes, what I would do is I would get on a diet. I would get on the Mediterranean diet, and I would get down to ideal body weight. If you don't know how to do that, talk to a dietitian. And then once the doctor says it's okay, I would get into an exercise program. The treatment for type 2 diabetes, adult onset diabetes, is diet and exercise.
Diet
and exercise. And if that doesn't work, then there are drugs.
Mm-hmm. Diet and exercise
is the first approach.
Somebody named Lorraine has a gallstone and said that her doctor told her that gallstones are present in 40% of older people, but only 10% know it. That seems strange to me. Could that be true, that you could have a gallstone or any kind of a stone, any stone, kidney stone, and not know that you have it?
Absolutely.
Really?
The gallbladder is this bag that sits under the liver, and it stores the bile. The bile is made in the liver and it's stored in the bag, the gallbladder. And then when you eat a fatty meal, there are stimulants to the bag that make it compress to propel the gall, the material in the gallbladder, the bile, into the gut. And this helps to digest fat. And in the sitting of the bile in your gallbladder, sometimes you get precipitation, you get solids form, crystals form, you get stones, and you can have stones sitting in your gallbladder. It's not uncommon. Sometimes you'll get a CAT scan of the abdomen and it'll be picked up without you even knowing that you had it. And sometimes these stones will obstruct the flow of bile through the ducts, through the pipes, into the intestines. And when there is obstruction, that's when you especially get pain, especially after eating a fatty meal. And this is when you got to get the gallbladder out, because you don't want to get a huge obstruction. We used to recommend in many subgroups of patients, especially diabetics, that if you have stones and even if they're not causing symptoms, to get it out. But it has become so easy relative to how it was several decades ago to take out the gallbladder. You know, when my mother had her gallbladder out in the 1970s, she was in the hospital for a week with an incision all across her abdomen from left to right. Now you do it through this little pipe. You don't even stay in the hospital overnight. You're home the same day.
I think they call that medical advancement.
It's unbelievable. And so it's relatively, in most people, easy to take the gallbladder out. So now our indication for doing it have changed because you can get it out so easy.
So is it the operation is better or the insurance companies want people out faster?
Both.
Damn insurance companies. And what they even when you're having a baby, there used to be, 3 days in the hospital?
Get
now
out.
It's in and out.
Right.
Dr. Ken Kronhaus, in your life.